אנחנו קוראים בספר כתבי בעל הסולם בעמוד 410.
We're reading from the article The Peace by בעל הסולם. You can find it on Kabbalah for the Student, page 270. You can also ask questions on Kabbalah TV. Relevant questions may be aired during the lesson. We are reading on page 270 in Kabbalah for the Student. In the middle of the page. And now we come to clarify the phrase, all is in deposit. It has been compared with one who lends money to his friend in order to make him a partner in the profit. To make sure that he does not lose his money, he gives it to him as collateral, and thus he is free from any uncertainty. The same applies to the creation of the world and its existence, which the Creator has prepared for humans to engage in and to eventually attain by it the exalted goal of Dvekut with Him, as it is explained in Matan Torah. Thus, one must wonder, who would compel humanity to engage in his work until they finally come to this exalted end? Rabbi Akiva tells us about that. All is in deposit. This means that everything that God had placed in creation and given to people, He did not give to them licentiously, but secured Himself with collateral. And should you wonder what collateral he was given, he responds to that by saying, and a fortress spreads over all of life. This means that the Creator has cleverly devised a wonderful fortress and spread it over all of humanity, so no one will escape. All the living must be caught in that fortress and necessarily accept his work, until they attain their sublime goal. This is the collateral by which the Creator secured Himself, to guarantee that no harm would come to the deed of creation. Afterwards, he interprets it in detail and says, the store is open. This means that this world seems to us like an open shop without an owner, and anyone who passes through may receive abundantly, as much as one wishes, free of any charge. However, Rabbi Akiva warns us that the shopkeeper is selling by deferred payment. In other words, although you cannot see any shopkeeper here, know that there is a shopkeeper, and the reason that he is not demanding payment is because he sells it to you by deferred payment. And should you say, how does he know my debt? To that he replies, the book is open and the hand writes. Meaning there's a general book in which each act is written without losing even one. And the aim surrounds the law of development that the Creator has imprinted in humanity, which prompts us ever forward. This means that the corrupt conducts in the states of humanity are the very ones that generate the good states. And each good state is nothing but the fruit of the work in the bad state that preceded it. Indeed, these values of good and bad do not refer to the value of the state itself, but to the general purpose. Each state brings humanity closer to the goal it is considered good, and one that deflects them from the goal is considered bad. By that standard alone is the law of development built. The corruption and the wickedness that appear in a state are considered the cause and the generator of the good state, so that each state lasts just long enough to grow the evil in it to such an extent that the public can no longer bear it. At that time, the public must unite against it, destroy it, and reorganize it in a better state for the correction of that generation. And the new state, too, lasts just as long as the sparks of evil in it ripen and reach such a level that they can no longer be tolerated, at which time it must be destroyed, and a more comfortable state is built in its stead. And so the states clear up one by one, degree by degree, until they come to such a corrected state that there will be no sparks of evil. And you find that all the seeds from which the good states grow are only the corrupted deeds themselves, meaning that all the exposed evils that come from under the hands of the wicked in the generation join and accumulate to a great sum until they weigh so heavily that the public can no longer bear them. Then they rise up and ruin it and create a more desirable state. Thus you see that each wickedness becomes a condition for the driving force by which the good state is developed. These are the words of Rabbi Akiva. The book is open and the hand writes.
Questions. Questions thus far. Everything's clear, yes? Meaning bad things need to be disclosed. We learned this also from the shattering of Adam, that there is no correction without the corruptions being revealed. And all our work is in hastening the disclosure of the corruptions to be ready for their revelation and to be ready for their correction. That's the whole point. As then we see that the wise sees that which will be born, and we come to every state, correct it along the way, and understand that it needs, that other states need to be revealed, maybe even worse and unpleasant, but in advance we're preparing ourselves to reveal them and correct them. That's the matter, actually. Okay? Well?
Rav, what's a good state in the world?
A good state in the world is that the world knows that it's receiving the recognition of evil because all comes from the ruin and that it needs to correct it and how to correct it, and that's considered a good state.
Can you give us an example?
I don't have an example for this. An example for a good state we don't have. We don't. Let's say you're in a group, in your group, together with your group, prepare yourselves for the revelation of the Creator, for connection between you and Arvut, to all that needs to be, and then you'll be ready to receive the revelation of the shattering from the Tree of Knowledge, a disclosure in a gradual manner, but you will be ready for it, and that's how you will go.
In Baal Aslam's text, is he talking about the world or people who...
He's talking in general of the world. We'll wait for that to happen, but at least let it happen in a small group. Okay? Yes?
The notepad is open, the hand writes. What does it mean?
That there's no incidents in the world. Let's say it that way. Everything is directed, arranged. It's also all in shattering and in the end of correction. And we can only hasten ourselves and by that bring him contentment.
He wants to build a person's attitude to the Creator.
Yes.
And something in addition he adds to that?
That's enough. There's none else besides him. Good that does good is enough. Ooh, well, go ahead.
We're continuing. Any state that the generation is in is like a book, and all the evildoers are as writing hands, because each evil is carved and written in the book until they accumulate to an amount that the public can no longer bear. At that time, they ruin that evil state and rearrange it into a more desirable state. Thus, each and every act is calculated and written in the book, meaning in the state. And he says, all who wish to borrow may come and borrow. This means that he believes that this world is not like an open store without an owner, but that there is an owner present, a shopkeeper who stands in his store and demands of each customer the right price for the merchandise he's taken from the store, meaning toil in his work, while he is nourished by that store, in a manner that is certain to bring him to the purpose of creation as he pleases. Such a person is regarded as one who wishes to borrow. Thus, even before he stretches his hand to take from this world, which is the store, he takes it as a loan to pay its price. In other words, he takes it upon himself to work to achieve his goal during the time he lives off the store, in a way that he promises to pay his debt by achieving the desired goal. Therefore, he is deemed as one who wishes to borrow, meaning that he pledges to return the debt. Rabbi Akiva depicts two kinds of people. The first are the open store type, which regard this world as an open store without a shopkeeper. He says about them, the book is open and the hand writes. Meaning, although they do not see that there is an account, all their actions are nonetheless written in the book, as explained above. This is done by the law of development imprinted in creation against humanity's will, where the deeds of the wicked themselves necessarily instigate the good deeds, as we've shown above. The second type of people is called those who want to borrow. They take the shopkeeper into consideration, and when they take something from the store, they only take it as a loan. They promise to pay the shopkeeper the desired price, meaning attain the goal by it. And he says about them, all who wish to borrow may come and borrow. And if you say, what's the difference between the first type, whose goal comes to them from the law of development, and the other type, whose goal comes to them by self-enslavement to his work, are they not equal in attaining the goal? In that regard, he continues, and the collectors return regularly, day by day, and collect from a person knowingly and unknowingly. Thus, in truth, both pay their daily portion of the debt. And just as the forces that emerge by engaging in his work are deemed the loyal collectors, who collect their debt in portions every day until it is completely paid, the mighty forces imprinted in the law of development are also deemed as loyal collectors who collect their daily portions of the debt until it is paid in full. This is the meaning of, and the collectors return regularly, day by day, and collect from a person. However, there's a great difference and a great distance between them, meaning knowingly and unknowingly. The first type, whose debt is collected by the collectors of development, pay their debt unknowingly, but stormy waves come upon them through the strong wind of development and push them from behind, forcing them to step forward. Thus, their debt is collected against their will and with great pains by manifestations of the evil forces, which push them from behind. But the second type pay their debt, which is the attainment of the goal knowingly, of their own accord, by repeating the actions that hasten the development of the sense of recognition of evil. And through this work, they gain doubly. The first gain that these forces, which appear out of his work, are set before them as pulling, magnetic force. They chase it of their own free will with the spirit of love. Needless to say, they are free from any kind of sorrow and suffering like the first type. The second gain is that they hasten the desired goal. For they are the righteous and the prophets who attain the goal in each generation, as it is explained in the essay, The Essence of the Wisdom of Kabbalah, in the section, What Does the Wisdom Revolve Around? Thus you see the great distance between those who pay knowingly and those who pay unknowingly, as the supremacy of the light of delight and pleasure over the darkness of pain and agony. And he says further, they have what to rely on, and the judgment is true. In other words, he promises all those who pay knowingly and willingly that they have what to rely on, that there's great strength in his work to bring them to the sublime goal, and it is worthwhile for them to harness themselves under his burden. And of those who pay unknowingly, he says, and the judgment is true. Seemingly, one must wonder why Providence permits those corruptions and agonies to appear in the world, in which humanity is being fried mercilessly. He says about it that this judgment is true, since all is ready for the feast, for the true goal, and the sublime delight that is destined to emerge with the revelation of his purpose in creation, when all the trouble and toil and anguish that befall us through time will seem like a host who greatly troubles himself to prepare a great feast for the invited guests. And he compares the anticipated goal that must finally be revealed to a feast, whose guests attend with great delight. This is why he says, and the judgment is true, and all is ready for the feast. Such as that you will find in Bereshit Rabbah.
Questions. Is the difference between those who work the creator and those who don't, is it clear? Yes or no? Who's not certain? You don't, because you don't know, you know, you don't belong to it. What is he saying about those that he takes their debt unknowingly, which is 99.9% of the population of the world, They don't belong to the Lord's work in practice. Hence, they're drawn by acting according to their nature, according to their desire and their understanding. One who does go according to the other line, from having the preparations, of course, and not from some other reason, he has special preparations, as these preparations are the point in the heart, and against it, the reforming light, it feels that it can enter in the relations with the storekeeper. That there's none else besides him, is the host, he's the one responsible, he's the one I have to be connected to. I'm not allowed to take anything from the store without first entering into contact with him, to pay him, receive from him, and so on. There's a very big difference here. Meaning, we are in a very big store, this whole world. I either take and take and take whatever I can. I even take from others, steal, etc. Or, I receive only through the Creator. On my own, I don't receive a thing at all. How do we call that? Tzimtzum. That's right, restriction. We don't receive anything. I just want to receive from the Creator. How do I pay him? Through the Masach and the returning light, O Chozer. And then it turns out that there are two systems here. We either connect from our ego directly to the store and not to the Creator ever. You can't be any other way. You can't connect to him like that with lack of equivalence of form. Or we build a kli to connect to the shopkeeper, and only to him we turn, receive from him, and don't pay. Then pay him. I'm sorry. And what happens in all of this? I get to know the store, I get to know the shopkeeper, I get to know myself, and by that I attain all of creation as it truly spreads before me in the clearest possible way, and comes to a state in which there's equivalence with the shopkeeper in his eternality and his perfection. Or, yeah, being similar to a beast. We come, take whatever there is, kind of like that, without paying attention at all to who it belongs to. We don't disclose the shopkeeper, the host, okay?
What am I taking in? What do I receive in the loan?
You actually don't receive it in loan. You want to pay for it on the spot. That all that you're taking for the benefit of the host, of the boss.
And why is it as a loan? Why can I get it and pay for it?
To go deeper, I don't know if it's worthwhile. It's considered that we are in equal payment, in a complete payment. A loan is considered differently. Come to me and I will pay it off. Meaning what we receive is we receive forces, like we receive the force of reception, we get the force of bestowal. And it's all seemingly at the expense of the Creator. So who are we? But whilst we arrange these forces in the right way, it turns out that I give it back to him by attaining him, by coming to adhesion to him. Dvikut is the final payment. Yes.
It's the same shop for people who think there is a shopkeeper and those who don't?
It's true that it's a different store. The store for the regular people is this world, and the store for the special people is the next world. Two stores, as if. It's like the second level, second floor. but it's also in, also the first floor is included in the second floor. And as much as you need it, you use it too. But the fashion in which you use it makes it become like the second floor. It's all from the second floor. Yes.
Perhaps I can give an example. I hope it's not misunderstood. That the creator is like the car washer. You know, you stand there in the middle of the you know, at the traffic light, and the kid washes your car. But you didn't want this washing. You know, he gave us with love the will to receive, and now he wants the payment. Now, those who appreciate it, you know, appreciate the washing because the kid wanted to, you know, to make a living and not steal, he can say, you know, go ahead, take the money.
We need to digest that. Yes. What's happening for us with the convention for a few minutes that we are preparing? Are we preparing ourselves? How? Yes? No? Who is responsible for all the order, for all the actions? Well, do we have something? A short report.
First of all, more than 100 people are coming from the world Kli, and there's a great excitement and great anticipation from the convention, according to all the input. And just a few announcements. Everyone who's coming from the world Kli, please give us your details so that we can collect you from the airport and make sure that you have a ride and everything. We are reminding everyone to bring warm clothes because it's cold in the nights. You can set up a tent there if you want, so definitely bring sheets and so forth. There are also possibilities for a ride if people want to take the bus there.
I think that's the most worthwhile to do it, to come here in all kinds of ways, and from here in an orderly fashion.
Yeah, and there's going to be a special preparation too. Now, there's another thing. We are starting, a rides table. So people who can't come on the bus or they want to come with their own cars, so it'll be a table where everyone posts where they're going and when in a car and how much room they have, and then you can ride together. Carpool.
Slower.
Yeah, so over the weekend we're going to close the registration. If you have any difficulties or problems with the registration, just turn to the 1-700-519-209 and we'll help you.
Okay, well, do you have something to add? Mr. Itai.
Yeah, so from the content team, I'm happy to say that yesterday we had a very big meeting with about 15 people in the room and 40 more people virtually connected. We started looking at the different types of content and dividing the tasks, and also with regards to the buses, there was another idea that there will be the Zohar radio, and then it doesn't matter where you are or you're from and so forth, there will be like a radio broadcast that everyone connects to. And you can be there too.
I'll already be there.
Well, it doesn't matter where you are, we can broadcast it.
Yes, okay.
Okay, so we divided the schedule to several items and started examining things. I want to ask a few questions about two things in the meantime. One is meals. Basically, each and every meal will have its different state according to the mood of the group, but every group that will prepare the content, there's a few questions about it. First, a task. Should there be, at the end of each lesson, or an event, should there be a task that we leave with?
It's for sure, yes. There's not a minute where a person is not engaged in what he needs to be engaged in what everyone's dealing with. Yes.
All right, let's say we got out of the tent and there's like 20 minutes where people eat. What are we talking about?
We eat.
But people talk.
No, we eat.
Quietly?
Yes.
That leads me to the next topic of the ushers. You know, I make tea. I see Niv next to me. We may both make tea. What do we talk about?
About what was in the lesson and only on the topic that we're in. Nothing but that.
So everything goes back to the same task.
Over the same thing, how we're keeping ourselves in the entrance to Ibur. What Ibur is, in what way we continue, extend constantly around that matter. Imagine to yourself a person that is very concerned of something. So does he have a mind to think of something else other than that? No. So that's how we need to be.
So a person who's always bothered by something, even the l'chaims,
everything, yeah. Only around that, but not artificially, but internally, moving as much as possible.
How is it possible to talk about the ushers a bit? Basically, the ushers are all of us. Do I need to have a role to make sure everyone can keeps the guidelines, or everyone's an usher?
Every person needs to decide that he is in charge of the mood and success of everyone. It's really so. Every single person is responsible and defines these things.
So then, let's say, again, the picture is that the Niv is next to me and he's making tea, and I see that he's talking about other things. So I have to tell them, comment?
It is your obligation to stop those redundant, nonsensical conversation and to move them to the right state.
And if I see that it doesn't help?
What do you mean it doesn't help? You call a few other people, and we take them and drag them out of the camp. Do you hear, Niv?
Yes. Okay, so we invite everyone. There is the Unity Chevra Gmail. If you have any ideas, we are meeting almost every night. There's also a Zoom link where you can join the meetings. And again, if you don't have the time to join the meetings, you can send an email. And there's also on Sviva Tova a link there. Yeah.
What did you decide about music?
We made a list of all the songs we can sing without instruments. We're meeting with a few friends to see if we can add that list. Once it's ready, we'll share that with everyone. And
so you're preparing yourselves?
Yeah, we know what's going on.
Very well.
Yesterday I was in the groups and I heard from two friends directly that they said it's a bit stressful for them, that it's going to be very intense, that you can't just walk out of the lesson for a few minutes to get some air.
Why? Well, no, in the lesson we can't. We are coming to intermingle, to incorporate, to connect. Therefore, to just go out of the lesson, no. There are people that can't without smoking, maybe?
Yes, that too. And also, it's just, you know, naturally difficult to sit like that intensively.
Then we can divide the lesson maybe to several parts and give 10 minutes. But it's giving 10 minutes break. But I'm saying again, it's going to break the flow. I'm not against. It just depends on those people who are going to, if they go to smoke and come to the bathroom and immediately return. You understand? Otherwise, it's a problem. Check. If there's a lesson of 3 hours, yes?
The longest lesson is 3 hours, which includes the Shivat Chavarim as well.
It could be. You just tell me. Well, bathroom, there's no choice. A person has to go if he has to go. But he should hold back from not smoking. I don't know. I think that we must nevertheless decide that only something that's absolutely necessary above nature. Anything that we need, if it just obligates a person that he has to go out for a few minutes and that's it. I don't know. You examine it, these rules. More? That's it? Yes?
We want to hear more input, and yeah.
Okay, it's also about the songs, about the breaks, about the meals, all those details.
We also see the email for everyone, unity.chevra@gmail.com. Everyone's invited to write in any language you can. And
very good. Yes, Hanoch, well?
I want to ask about the Itai and Niv example and the talk that is not in the right place. How do I turn one judges through his own flaws to each to help his friend?
You enter between them and bring them gently back to the right line. When you hear that people are not talking to the point, you kind of gently enter between them and try to lead them in the right direction in the topic of the conversation. That's it. Everything with love we try to do. But if it doesn't help and we see that there are such people that are, they just fell and who knows from where and to where, then we'll have to isolate them until we dispel people. It's best to work on them and to explain and to hug, but if that doesn't help, we have to do that twice. If it doesn't help, we have to expel. But I think we'll have such an atmosphere that'll be good and nice and warm and loving. It'll control everyone, and everyone will actually be in readiness and the inclination towards good and beautiful connection. And we also need to pay attention to how our friends overseas are also awaiting us for a good, beautiful broadcast, both technically and in our internal, warm, powerful intention and exertion. And with that, the daily task from where? From Tallinn, yes.
During the day, to see how their root help us determine connection with the Creator and feel His constant concern to us. During the day, in the 10, we scrutinize how the Arvut helps us determine the connection with the Creator and feel His constant concern to us. The Zohar lesson, you're invited at 6:15 p.m. Live with Rav Lightman. Thank you to the TV viewers. And receiving your life as a gift, we invite everyone to join the introductory lectures throughout November across Israel. For details, call 1-700-509-209 or go to kab.co.il if you're in Israel. And we'll sing a song.
רוצים לחבר את המחשבות.